This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And, of course, joining in for the fun and frivolity of it all.
I was going to say, this is a garden party,
garden
baby.
Garden party. Yeah. You got it. Frank
no
Proctor.
No fooling around.
Sous chef of the garden.
Or the under gardener, as I prefer.
That's right, yeah. Hey, Merry Christmas in advance to one and all.
Yes, indeed.
Two more big sleeps.
True. Tonight Ooh, and tomorrow. Yeah, well, yeah. We're actually doing Christmas dinner at my brother's place tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah?
So it'll be the family gets together the big turkey. I've got the stuffing in my car, which I'm going to deliver to my brothers this afternoon because they don't know nothing about making stuffing. So I'll be delivering that this afternoon.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. We're going to do just a small family gathering on the 25th itself, just with Shirley and myself and her daughter and son-in-law and her sister. And
oh, nice.
Then on the 30th, because of holiday shifts and all that
all
stuff,
right.
Kelly,
your
who's
family,
my oldest son, who's a cop, he's on
duty.
Different shifts. Yeah. So the first we could get him free was December. We set him.
Wow, so next Saturday.
We unlocked him out of the cell there on December 30th. So he and his family and Toby and their family coming up and going to have a ball.
Oh, wow.
Having a
that'll
good
be
time.
Fun.
Yeah.
You know what? That's probably just as well, because driving this weekend does not look to be super pleasurable. And considering that you're out in the middle of nowhere in the woods.
Yeah.
That's right. Just getting down that multi-kilometer backwoods trail to your cabin is probably a bit intimidating when snow is falling all around, but it's beautiful.
But you know what? It's so nice to have snow.
Oh, yeah.
And we're looking at the forecast just before hitting the airwaves here, that we're looking at about 5 centimeters on Christmas Eve.
Well, and it's going to snow today as well.
Oh,
so we've got snow
yeah.
today and snow tomorrow. And so it's not just a white Christmas, but it's fresh snow.
Yeah.
So it's that beautiful.
Not that dirty old brown slush.
Exactly.
We're particularly talking if you live
Christmas
in the city.
Card
yeah.
Christmas.
Yeah.
And at your place, like double Christmas card because it's so beautiful with all the trees and the pond and birds and
absolutely great.
I might just come up actually.
Well, yeah, you're welcome. Bring booze. I mean, bring a happy face.
Bring your sleeping bag. You might be staying for a while.
Well, yeah, it's going to be I think the watchword for this time of year, to me anyway, is family and friends. Just, you know, the presents. Oh, sure, that's fine, but don't go crazy because you're going to regret it at the end of January
right.
and
yeah,
those
no,
bills
right.
start coming in. But make sure you get together with your good friends and family, even if it's a phone call, you know.
True.
Thinking about particularly those who have maybe just lost a family member, whether it be a spouse or a member of the family. Tough time of year to be going through because everybody's gathering together. And we got to kind of remember that, geez, I should remember Aunt Harriet who's just lost Uncle Bill.
That's right, yeah.
So give her a call. Yeah. You know, just connect with people. Anyway.
Nice thought.
Well, there you are. Now, our show here, yes. Charlie is a master gardener, and any questions you might have.
And I know we're all thinking about gardening right now.
Oh,
this is like top of mind.
I jumped out of bed this morning and said, now, darn, what about my begonias?
No. You know? You said, I wonder if I should water my fake houseplants.
I wonder, are we going to get any calls this morning?
People
are so busy.
Josephine, one of our regular callers, she did give a call and she just said, big Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Oh, I see. A little note here.
To
yeah.
Sebastian and you and I. And of course, to you as well, Josephine. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. We could have said that on air, but she probably thought, no point in sitting around on hold listening to us chitter chatter. So
very
for sure,
good.
We're happy to talk gardening. Send in, you know, sort of speak out those questions. But you know what? You might have some really cool tips as well.
Yeah,
I love hearing some of the tips. So
absolutely.
So
okay.
Go for it.
All right.
In the meantime, let's. Well, did we give the numbers?
Oh gosh, there you go. My job that I didn't even do.
That's why you're the under gardener.
All right. In Toronto, call this number to reach Charlie here at the Garden Show. 416-360-0740. And then anywhere else in the province, toll free. What if we're going to hear from Rick up there in White River? 1-866-740-4740. And the little rules still apply. If you're a first-time caller, by all means, let Sebastian know and... you're going to be welcome to the air with that little bell.
Garden wings.
And, our mantra is call early, call often. One question per call, okay? All right. Back in moments here on The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And as the sous chef of the garden, it's my pleasure to say and ring a bell here.
Yeah.
Welcome, first-time caller, Anne in Hagersville. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. I'm calling to find out if I can force these bulbs. I didn't get them planted.
I knew you were going to say that. Just found a bag of bulbs.
Two packages of 10 bulbs, and it says they're blue Spanish bluebell. And I've never done this, so I don't know how to do it.
Hmm. Okay, so you'll need some potting soil.
Okay.
Because you're going to pot them up.
Right.
Okay, so you've got 20 little bulbs there. You could, I probably do two pots, six-inch pots. You should hopefully be able to fit 10 into each pot because they're not very large bulbs, right?
Right.
So potting soil moistened into the pots. Then the bulbs go in, on top of the soil, so their little noses are just poking out of the surface of the soil.
Okay.
And you cram the bulbs in tight. In the real garden, we never have our bulbs touch when we plant them. But in pots, it's not a problem if they're touching. So you're going to, fill that whole container with the bulbs. They're, like I said, they're little pointy noses just sticking out of the surface of the soil. Thorough watering. Make sure that, they've been saturated, but they're not sitting in water. So let them drain well. Then what I do is I'll usually bag them into a dark colored plastic bag. It could be a green garbage bag, whatever, but just dark. And then they go into refrigerator temperatures.
Okay.
So if you have a root cellar then and it's dark, then you see, in my case, I don't. So my forced bulbs go in my fridge. And because every time the fridge opens, the light comes on, I have to put them in a dark bag because you don't want them to get light, but you do want them to get cool.
Right.
Okay. And just mark on the calendar 12 weeks from the day you put them into the cool dark. You're going to take them out of the cool dark, open up your bag, and sure enough, all kinds of roots will have grown in that process, and they will just starting to be poking through, should be just poking through the bulb. You'll get them into some sunshine, into some warmth, and they'll grow.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's going to be gorgeous. Let us know how it turns out.
Yeah. And before you go away, I'd like you to be the weather correspondent, I guess, for Hagersville. Is it nice and snowy there?
Well, I'm outside of Hagersville, and I'm looking down towards Lake Erie. I'm about 5 miles away from the lake, and I can barely see the trees in the distance.
Is it fog or snow?
Snow.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
I was just hearing about serious fog down Sarnia way. So yeah.
We had that earlier, and then it kind of lifted, and then the snow started again.
Oh, there you
go.
Well,
you're in for a white Christmas, it seems.
Yeah,
eh?
Good for singing songs.
That's great.
Thank you, Anne.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. First-time caller from Hagersville.
Yeah, don't be a stranger.
Zoomer Radio, AM 740, as we're broadcasting live and direct from the Zoomerplex Liberty Village. Heading out to...
Waiting for the snow
now,
here.
We should get a report on Brantford.
I think it is starting to snow.
Is it?
Oh, well, we're due. It's supposed to start any minute.
All right. Well, keep an eye on that out the window here. Brantford, what's the weather there, Ellen? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Yes. We've got snow here, too. There's your weather report.
Okay, that's good.
Good to know. We're tracking.
Now, I was just wondering, last summer, Charlie was telling how to prune lilacs. I have a fence nice tall lilacs. They're probably about 30 feet tall, but I inherited it, and they're getting very strangly, and I don't know how to get them to thicken out. Getting leggy, right?
Yeah.
And I thought I understood that you're supposed to take out the young ones, but I'm not really sure.
Never take out the young ones. You take out the old ones. That's the challenge. So here's going to be your decision. If you're prepared to, you know, it's a big hedge, it's 30 feet tall, you probably need some help with this because it's not, you can't just do this alone in a couple of hours. It'll take, you know, a crew of people a couple of hours. What you would do is early in the spring when the ground has thawed, but it's still early, nothing is greened up yet. Lilacs have not flowered. You could go in there or take your crew in there with some saws, and you can go and take out particularly the oldest, thickest, largest branches, stems, from ground level. So that's going to be quite a deal. That's going to be bringing down...
Let more air in there and sunlight.
And all those 30-footers are going to come down, but you're going to do it carefully enough that the smaller stuff that's there, you're going to try and not damage. You're going to try and allow that to live through this process. As the days continue into spring, the rush of growth, because there's great root system on these plants, right? They've been there for a long time. That rush of growth is going to go into what is there, what's the limited growth that you've left, and you'll find it will grow very thick, very bushy, lots of new growth will come from the base, and you'll have a very nice, reasonably sized, green, bushy situation. You won't have a ton of flowers, but you still should have a few.
Yeah.
The other option is you wait until after the plants have flowered. So that would be not early spring, but more mid to late spring. So you're going to get your lilac flowers. But of course, they're 30 feet high. So you're not really getting a lot of benefit from those flowers. So my first option would be the one I just gave you. Second option is wait until after flowering. You won't want to be quite as extreme with your pruning. You will take out roughly a third of the biggest, tallest stems. You can't take them all out if you wait that long. Early in the spring, you can take out all the big stuff, but later in spring, late spring, a third at the most. Okay?
Okay, yeah, I think I would go with your first one. Would an arborist know this if I was to call someone like that to do it, or would I get a different professional to do that if I wasn't doing it myself?
Well, a certified arborist would know that, but somebody who calls himself an arborist might not. So, you know, you can always remember this show is podcast, and it's always kept in the archives here on the AM 740 website. So if you have a computer, just, you know, mark the date, today's date, that this show, you'll just want to go back to it. And if you're interviewing different people to do the work, see what their recommendation is, and then you've got this, you can refer to, let them listen to this if you like. But I'm a pretty big fan of making sure you've got the right person
Landscape
for the right
Ontario
job.
Ontario would be a good place to head to get... Or Davies.
Well, Davey Tree is obviously certified arborist, so you can always bring one of those people in just for a quote, if nothing else.
It doesn't cost you anything to do
that. No, that's right. And
They're on a bank, which makes it a little difficult to get at, because if you put a, you know, they're growing up a bank along a fence, so it's a little bit of a difficult, and I don't get a lot of flowers lately, so that might be because of the way they're growing.
That's right. They need to be invigorated, rejuvenated, and that's what this pruning would be all about. And you'll find you get lots of flowers. Of course, you may need to do some soil amending because the plants have been there for a long time. There may be very little nutrient left in the soil. But, so, I mean, Davey Tree for a quote, and as Frank says, Landscape Ontario's website, you just choose where you live, put in your postal code, put in what you're looking for, and it'll come back and tell you what professionals are servicing your area for what you're looking for. So that's an idea as well to see if you can perhaps get a couple quotes and then decide what you want to do.
So there's your job for springtime to give us a call back to let us know how's it going.
That's right. And you've got a few months to work it out. Yeah. That's the good part. So your timing is perfect.
Thank you. Great. Thank
you. Christmas,
very, very much.
Merry Christmas.
Alrighty. Very good. Thank
you. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Thank
Alrighty.
You. All right. Our time is 9:24, and when we come back, I'm going to go back to when I was 17 years of age and just starting my first job in radio at CFCO in Chatham, Ontario.
Oh, yes.
And we're going to talk to Jean.
And see if she remembers you on air.
That's right. Yeah, I don't think so. Anyway, back in moments here on Zoomer Radio, The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Let me just give those phone numbers one more time here before we chat with Gene. 416-360-0740 in the Toronto area. And anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Now, off to Chatham. And there's Gene. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In Chatham, I was in Hamilton.
Oh, is that right?
CHML, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I used to do a garden show on CHML.
Holy cow, yeah.
No, but not when Frank was 17. Because frankly, I wasn't born when Frank was 17.
unfortunately, it's snowing here also.
Very heavy snow.
Oh, yeah, you're getting the dump.
Okay.
Well, let's hope there's no freezing rain or that everybody's just staying home in the Chatham area.
No, we're heading to London on Monday.
Oh, are you?
Oh, okay. Well, take your snowshoes.
Not too far.
The old banana belt. Yeah, London. You got it. My hometown.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind, Gene?
I have an amaryllis bulb that I had outside all last summer, mm-hmm. and then I brought it in and put it in a box down in the basement and kept it in the dark, mm-hmm. and it's doing nothing now. It was a beautiful, large amaryllis plant, and it's the bulb is green on the outside.
And you left it in the pot the whole time, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so it was in the box from what, like September, October, November?
From September, mid-September.
And so it's still in the box?
No, it's out now. No, I got it out a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, so it was in the box mid-September till early December?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. So 2.5 months. All right, so you brought it out. Now you've got it like in the living room or somewhere sunny and warm.
Yeah.
Did you water it once?
Pardon?
Did you water it at all?
Oh, yes. I even fertilized it.
Okay, so don't keep watering it, because it's obviously, if it's not growing, it's not using the water.
Oh, okay.
Right? So if you felt the soil right now, I think you'd find that it's still quite damp. So that's the trick with them, or with any bulbs. We do water them just to get them going, but until they get going, we don't want to keep adding water, because they will ultimately rot. The bulb will rot if it's kept wet all the time, or moist all the time. So, okay. It's been a couple of weeks. I wouldn't panic. I would just let it be. Just keep it in that warm, sunny spot. At some point, something's going to start poking through, but do not water until you see something start to grow.
Oh, okay.
And if you feel the bulb right now, it feels firm, right? Good, because you don't want the bulb to feel soft and squishy. So you want that.
And should I have taken it out and replanted it?
No, it's fine. Leaving it in the same. It likes to be pot bound, so no, what you've done is fine. But yeah, no more fertilizer and no more water until you start to see something grow. And if you
the other one has just got all leaves.
I know, that's been my experience. That happens every time for me. Lots
of nice green, pretty leaves. So.
Yeah, and you can, again, put them out for the summer and make them even greener and bushier. And some people I know don't even force an amaryllis into dormancy. They just keep it as a houseplant. Allow it to be green, mm-hmm. keep it in the warmth, keep it in the sun, water as necessary. And the amaryllis will bloom very sporadically when you least expect it. It'll shoot up a flower. It won't necessarily be Christmas
time.
That's
kind of neat, huh?
But it will shoot up a flower, and it is kind of a way to just say, okay, forget it. I'm not going to play the dormant, awake, asleep, what do I do game. Just keep it awake all the time.
Oh, I might try that.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for joining us, Gene.
Well, thank you very much, and have a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you very much. And safe drive tomorrow or Christmas Day.
Yeah, off to London.
Well, that's like you said, banana belt. Well, snow belt, woo.
We jokingly would call it, because you get the winds and the snow off Lake Huron.
I know, it's just like guaranteed. If we're getting 2 centimeters, they're getting 20.
That's right, yeah. Hey, look at here now. Let me get my bell ringing arm in shape. Okay.
Good stuff.
There we are. That's for Mario in Woodbridge, first time caller. Hey, Mario, welcome to the show and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Frank. It's a great show. Listen all the time. First time caller, as you mentioned.
Yes, welcome.
Quick question for you, though. I have a beautiful Japanese maple on my front lawn. Mm-hmm. It's about, I would say, about 9-10 years old. Had an awesome, beautiful season. It's one of the blood good Japanese mm-hmm. maples. However, a little surprise this year, the leaves mm-hmm. have never fallen off.
I knew you were going to say that.
Did you?
None of the Japanese maples dropped their leaves this fall. None of them. I haven't seen one yet that defoliated.
Wow. And is there any reason why that's happening? Because I know in the previous years, they've always lost them in the fall, and it's become bare.
Yeah, after we get the beautiful color, they drop. Yep. Now, did you get beautiful color from your Japanese maple this year?
Oh, with the rain, we had awesome, beautiful color. We totally enjoyed it. It was in full blossoming bloom color. But like I say, just the odd thing, the leaves just never fell off.
I know, it is odd. And it's funny, we have had one or two calls on this in the last month or so for the same question, like, what's going on? And why this has happened, it's got obviously got something to do with the weather. Because for the leaves to drop, there's certain physiological conditions that have to be met. And the leaf, like, you got to remember, the leaf is the part of the tree, and the tree is holding on to the leaf and photosynthesizing, and, you know, it's a very integral part of keeping the tree alive, but also allowing it to get bigger and grow, etc. It's all based on leaves. Well, something happened this fall where the leaves did not form what's called an abscission layer. So it's where cells actually die and allow the leaves to drop without causing any damage to the plant. And it is very weather dependent for this to happen.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, okay. I can't believe that every Japanese maple in all of Southern Ontario suddenly died this fall. I think what we're going to find is that when the new growth starts in the spring, it will force off all the old growth. And we'll have dry brown leaves all over the place then.
And, beautiful.
But yeah, it does look odd. And, you know, it's a good thing we haven't had any real heavy dumps of snow, because we would have had some damage to the Japanese maples because they would have caught all that snow. So, you know, it's good. It's just been nice and light snow and it looks great. But yeah, it's so far, it's very odd. I tell you, I haven't seen a single defoliated Japanese maple, and I have seen hundreds in the last few months. So, yeah.
Okay.
So don't
worry. Very interesting. Very interesting. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And listen, to the both of you, a Merry Christmas to you and your family. Thank you so much.
And you
thank
too.
You,
thank
and the
you.
Same you. Yes,
all
isn't that nice? Can I just steal just a smidge of airtime here? Just to
well,
give my
of course. You want to tell us? Well, first, were going to tell us about when you were 17. Was there more you wanted to tell us about that first radio job?
Yeah, well, I went to another radio station called.
They threw you out of the first one, obviously.
Yeah, couldn't hold a job. CKTB in St. Catharines, where I, in 1978, wrote a story for the kids, and it's called The Day the Welland Canal Monster Met Santa, and it's going to be on the air between 2 and 3. This afternoon.
I'm going to be, you're doing a reading,
yeah,
aren't
you? A little reading of that, yes. And it'll be fun. So,
it's always fun. It's a great book.
Well, thank you. Thank you. But just on
between
kind of
2 and 3. How long does it take?
It's about 25 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So it's somewhere in between 2 and 3.
You got it.
25 minutes.
You
okay.
got it. All right.
Alrighty.
My bell ringing arm's got to be working out again here. Hey, that's for Donna, who's somewhere in this area south of Guelph.
Aberfoyle.
Yeah, maybe. Let's find out. Hi. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Donna.
I'm calling with a problem regarding our boxwood plant. And just a quick update. We have a three-year-old planting of approximately 70 boxwood that form a major part of our garden design. And recently, as I became more and more concerned about them, I took a sample to the University of Guelph lab.
Good idea.
Yes, and they've determined what the problems are, at least to some extent, but no, they don't give next steps or recommendations. One of the problems is that the bark is rotting around the soil line.
Oh, my.
I only pulled up one plant in its entirety, although I took cuttings from many, but we're suspicious that that is happening in the crown area on the majority of them. It's just too late in the year to dig around and really get a good look down at the soil line. But we also have boxwood leaf miner. And so... I have two concerns. One concern is that we're going to lose this expensive planting, which involves thousands of dollars. But we have a lot of older, mature boxwood throughout our gardens, and I'm afraid the leaf miner might go there. But anyways, I'm just open to any thoughts or ideas.
You've provided a very thoughtful and perplexing look on Charlie's face, I gotta tell you.
I'm not very happy about it.
I'm not surprised.
It represents a big part of our latest garden design, and I don't think it's looking very promising.
So tell me, do you typically put any winter protection around these boxwood? Not at all.
No.
And what direction, are they getting much wind, much snow? What are they exposed to?
Well, we have them at the back of the house, the front of that. We have boxwood everywhere. Okay. We have a parterre garden that's boxwood that's probably 25 years old.
Okay.
The boxwood are all over. We are relatively sheltered. We live on a farm, but we're relatively sheltered. An awful lot of mature trees everywhere.
So you've had boxwood on the property for 25 years plus, and now you added in, years ago, a whole bunch of plants.
No problem ever. It's just with the new planting. And this problem, I wish I had jumped on it sooner, but I believe it's been happening gradually for, a year or two.
Yes, unfortunately. And probably the original planting that was done, obviously, by some professionals for you would have had some kind of a guarantee on it.
Yes, just for 1 year, and I've missed that boat, so.
Yeah, and were they a company that you could go back to for advice?
Well, I have done that.
Okay.
And they scratched their head. They had no ideas. It's a reputable company, and they suggested that I take a sample into the university. And I haven't talked to them since.
So did the university identify what they they told you that they felt like you had took in a whole plant and the bark was all cracked around soil level, so at the crown.
Yes.
And so they suggested there might be something coming from the soil or nematodes, or did they say?
They didn't. They didn't give a cause for it. I asked if, possibly because mulch was laid down and the mulch was close to to the crown area, could the mulch have been too deep, too high, too close, holding moisture in there? I'm wondering if they might have been planted too deep. I don't know.
Yeah. See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You're right. That is important. When boxwood are typically grown in a pot at the nursery, when they go in the ground, of course, we want those soil surface levels to match.
Mm-hmm.
Or if anything, we plant a little bit high when we plant things because we know they're going to settle and drop down a tiny bit.
Right.
Unfortunately, boxwood is susceptible to an awful lot of different things. And there is even a virus that started up a few years ago. So tell you what, Donna, leave this with me and I'll see if I can sort of sort this out. But keeping in mind that the last two seasons have been highly stressful, this past one, of course, it was such a cold spring. It's such a wet spring
summer. Oh my God.
Right.
We saw a lot of mildew problems, a lot of fungal problems. And of course, that can, devastate and kill plants. The year before, we were so hot and so dry that, drought was
extremes.
An issue.
Yeah. That's true.
Do you have irrigation on this boxwood at all? Do you have an irrigation system or do you water by hand?
No. When it was a new planting, we're on a well here, but I did water sufficiently in the first year or so. And then last, with having so much rain this spring and summer,
No water required
water
this
at
year.
All.
No, I was just thinking about the year before. Like 17 was wet, but 16 was dry. Mm-hmm.
So right. I did do some watering.
Okay.
Now, the university did mention that there is a minor amount of fungus. They said it's secondary, with the leaves already being stressed with the leaf miner, that there was a little bit of fungus or whatever.
All right. So thanks, Donna. Leave it with me. I'm going to see what I can find out. And we are here again next week. So I will do my best to report back what I think is going on and what I would suggest your best next steps
are. Well, I appreciate that. And I guess my biggest concern is,
how do I keep it from going to all the established boxwood?
Right, there's that too. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've written that scribble. I've scribbled that note in my book. Okay?
Thank you.
You have given the homework assignment to Charlie.
Yes, I guess, thank you. Yeah. I do have a week off from teaching in the college.
Well, there you go.
My one whole week off, and now I'm taking on homework.
There you go.
What a nutcase.
Okay, thanks, Donna.
Yeah,
and
Merry
Christmas. We're going to be back in just a moment to talk to Marilyn, another first-time caller out there in Ancaster.
Like it.
And like a weather report from Ancaster, so get prepared with all the meteorological terms, you know, that we have to use. Meantime, you are listening to The Garden Show here from Zoomer Radio AM 740, 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor, saying good morning and welcome to the show. Marilyn, first-time caller from Ancaster. Hey.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi there.
Good morning, Charlie, and good morning, Frank.
Good
What's
morning.
Going on at your place?
Well, I've got three amaryllis that was sent to me for Christmas.
Nice.
They're about 12 inches high. One has come out and bloomed. I've got four blooms on it.
Nice.
And every day you see them, you see something happen every single time you turn around.
That's amazing.
They're in wax.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Have you heard of this before?
Yeah, I've seen that. It's interesting.
They only bloom once?
It's a naked bulb. Yeah, it'd be hard to... Well, I can't remember whether you... Generally, when a plant has been somewhat abused, as these are somewhat abused, so the bulb is actually encased in wax.
Oh, forget it.
So you can see the bulb. It's not in soil. It's not in a pot.
No, it's not.
And it makes it kind of a special oddity.
You're watching this thing grow as
you watch
it. Hard
to hear you.
Sorry, yeah. She's,
are we?
Marilyn's having trouble hearing us. We got to talk louder, I guess. But bottom line is, enjoy the flowers, and I wouldn't even try to get them. But if you want to try and get them to grow next year, you're going to do some warm water to melt some of that wax off, and then you're going to plant the bulbs into potting soil after they're finished blooming.
Huh.
They will have leaves on them at that point.
Yeah. And what about those little the seeds that are inside, like, you know, when they open up like that?
Well, yeah, they will pollinate themselves, and they can produce seeds. But I'll tell you, to grow an amaryllis that flowers from a seed is a very long-term, multi-year project.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. The seed...
I don't think I'll try that.
No, I don't think anyone's got the patience for that. No, because the seed will just grow you a little tiny plant. And you've got to grow over and over and over the little tiny plant to get the big fat bulb. That's what they do in Holland.
If I took the wax off after.
Yes, that's your challenge, is getting the wax off.
And what I do, put it in dark for a while? Or just
let it grow. It's got to grow right through till next fall. Sleepy time till next fall. You've got to get the wax off. You've got to get it in sunshine, in soil, so roots can grow and photosynthesis can take place with the leaves that are going to be there, which will then fatten up the bulb again to produce flowers next winter.
Ah.
So you keep the leaves on or do you
Correct.
Keep the leaves
on? Leave the leaves on, put it in the sun, let it be a green plant after it finishes flowering.
Okay. Maybe I'll give that a try.
All right.
Mark that in your calendar. I don't know when you should call back in to give us a report on that. Probably a year. But don't wait for that. Call again.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year for both of you.
Thank you.
Very kindly indeed. All right,
so I'm just showing Frank here some pictures.
I see that.
So
yeah.
You see, so it's a naked bulb.
Yeah. About that.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting.
Huh. Well, good luck getting the wax off. That's the whole deal.
Yeah, that's part of it, can you do that?
Off to Burlington we bounce. There's Joan. Hey, good morning, Joan. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you both?
Excellent.
Great.
How are you?
I am well.
Good.
I'm jumping ahead now to spring, and I'm asking, impatience, how are they doing? Because I know for a few years they've not been very good. Has there been any improvement?
Oh, are you one of those people who loved your impatiens and you're missing them like crazy?
Yeah,
you're not alone. Because impatiens was the number one bedding plant for many, many years.
From impatiens to begonias, and I like them both.
Yeah, so for now, I would stick with the begonias. The downy mildew that attacked all the impatiens that we know and love
has
still not been sorted out.
Oh.
All they've been able to do is mess around a bit with the sunshine impatiens and make them a little more shade tolerant and make them more familiar to us so that they look more like our familiar impatiens.
Mm-hmm.
There is a series out there called the Bounce impatiens.
Mm-hmm.
They are sunshine or New Guinea impatiens, but they look a lot like the old familiars. So the Bounce series seems to do well, no issues with them going down because the downy mildew doesn't touch them. But the ones that we knew and loved, impatiens Walleriana, is not being grown, and I'm not sure when it ever will be grown again.
Now, will these sunshine impatiens do okay in partial shade?
Yes. They won't do perfectly. They won't give you a lot of flowers in deep shade, but they certainly will give you flowers in partial.
Yeah, because I get about 2.5 hours in the morning and another 2.5 hours in the late day.
Yeah. So sunshines should do all right in there. And like I say, the Bounce series looks like, you know, it's got just plain green leaves, no variegation. And the flowers come in multicolors, like the whites, the pinks, the purples that we always planted in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So consider that or go with what you've been having, fun with, which is the begonias, which are excellent in the shade. I like coleus as well. A little bit of pruning and pinching on occasion just because they'll get so big. But
yeah,
otherwise,
you really have to look after the coleus, I found.
Yeah, and they need a bit of water on occasion. Begonias are great because you don't have to worry about watering them either.
That's right. And the closer together you plant them, the less weeds are inclined to...
Exactly.
Going between.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for your call and Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas and enjoy the holidays.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to be wandering back to have a word with Wanda in just a couple of moments. And
I see your friend Rick has called.
Yes. Rick from White River will join us toward the end of the show.
And
so
we're looking forward
around
to his weather report.
Oh, yeah. What's it like in White River
now? Oh, my goodness.
Gosh. We'll find out. Zoomer Radio, AM 740, The Garden Show on the air.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, we're off to Scarborough. There's Wanda. Good morning and Merry Christmas, Wanda.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Thanks.
Certainly looking Christmassy out there.
I know.
I was given a beautiful poinsettia plant. And it also has some little sprigs of evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's happening is the lower branch close to the evergreen is wilting.
Yeah, these cute little planters are kind of designed as short-term planters. Number one, make sure you do not water that plant unless you feel the soil and the surface of the soil is feeling dry. Likely what's happening is that you're loving this plant so much, you're giving it little drinks every day or too often.
No. Like last year I was given one that I still have alive, that's healthy and still has two red leaves.
Okay. So how often are you watering this plant?
I dunk it once a week.
Oh, okay.
And in water.
Is it dry when you do that dunking?
Well, it seems to take up quite a bit of water.
Okay. And you let it...
I'm seeing it the same way I did the one that's still thriving.
Right. But I'm wondering if those little evergreen boughs are having some impact.
I think so.
Do you think there are little plants in there or do you think they're just little boughs that are stuck into the soil?
Well, I pulled it out and they're just little boughs and they're about, not quite a half an inch.
Right. But no roots on them.
No.
So you know what? Get rid of them. Pull them out. Let the poinsettia get some air circulation, get some sun, and continue with your care that you suggested you're doing. But do maybe if you're going to do that thorough of a watering, which is great, you may want to go to 10 days on that instead of every week, just depending on how warm the temperatures are. You know, it hasn't been sunny. When we get a lot of sun coming in our windows, it's much different on the plants than all this overcast weather we've had the last week or so. So the plants... Our indoor plants just don't use as much water. And remember, we just had the shortest day of the year. Again, not a lot of photosynthesis, not a lot of growth when it's this much darkness. So
the rest of the plant seems to be doing fine.
Yeah.
Where the evergreens are. And I thought maybe I better just take them out.
Yeah, it sounds like you should just take them out, stick them in the compost, and let the poinsettia be free.
Good night.
Okay. Thank you, Wanda. Well,
thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. A chap who checks in with us from time to time, mm-hmm. and I'm delighted just before Christmas we get a chance to get a weather report and a question probably from Rick in White River. Hey, Rick, good morning. Merry Christmas.
Happy. Same to you guys.
Merry Christmas.
We've got lots of snow. Lots of snow up here.
How much?
Well, last night I got about 4 inches last night.
Whoa.
Is it snowing now?
Sort of.
Yeah, it's just started here.
Well, we got about over a foot, too.
Nice.
Yeah. Lovely.
Got
what's the temp skis like up there?
Oh, it's 9 degrees.
Oh, what?
-9.
Oh, -9, yeah.
Yeah.
but it's going to be really cold, well, quite cold for us next week. I wonder if you're going to get that cold coming through.
It's calling for terrible.
Yeah.
Well, stay warm.
They call that a Siberian low or something. I mean, here it's going to be wind chills in the minus 20s.
Yeah.
So up there it's just going to be minus 20.
It's Canada.
Yeah, that's right.
I got a hibiscus.
Uh-huh.
I want to cut back, but I want to get roots growing on them.
Okay.
What should do to do that?
If you could cut it back today, and you could take those cuttings and stick them in either some
water,
water or moist vermiculite or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's going to take, if you do that now, it's going to take quite a while to see some roots.
Oh, yeah.
If you can wait, if you don't need to cut it back today,
no.
I'd wait till sort of the end of February.
Okay.
And then do whatever kind of radical cutting back you want to do.
Oh, yeah.
And then keep whatever you've cut off. And, of course, tip cuttings are the best, 3 to 4 inch tip cuttings. Remove lower leaves and, again, into the water. Make sure you got buds down into the water. And you should get roots within 3 to 4 weeks in March. Lots of sun, right?
Oh, good.
Should I put a hormone?
You'll always get roots faster if you use a rooting hormone.
Yeah, do I?
Yeah. This stuff works.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, Rick, what's the population of White River?
Well, there's a couple animals, including me. It's about 1,000 people right now.
All right. There would you have a garden center close by to buy vermiculite and stuff
online.
Like that? Would you buy online?
Well, no. You go to Home Hardware.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
You get lucky sometimes.
Good stuff.
But we've got a gold mine opening up here.
Oh.
Yeah, good for you.
Boomtown.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, Frank's quite an investor. He may want to know more about that gold mine.
It's a pretty hot deal.
Well,
sure it is.
There you are. Okay.
When they're opening, they're always a hot deal. That's a great idea.
You're building a smelter.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I don't even think. Yeah, there's no smelters in Ontario that I know of.
It's called Heart Gold.
Heart Gold.
Heart Gold. Mm.
Writing that down.
Hey, I'm writing it down too.
The best, you know.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Rick. All the very best to you, and a very Merry Christmas to you and the
family.
Stay
warm.
Oh yes, thank you very much, and God bless you.
And you
too.
Thanks for calling.
Wow, look at that.
I know.
Half a minute left.
There we were thinking we were just you and me. We're going to spend an hour boring each other. And instead, some people intervened and we got to listen to them.
Saved ourselves from boredom.
Exactly. Oh, so thanks everybody for calling. I know everybody's busy. We're baking and cooking. And I know I'm delivering and picking up and doing all kinds of things today. So everybody be safe.
Yep.
Get out on the roads. Drive carefully. We've got some crazy weather going on. So slow it down. Don't be in a hurry.
Exactly.
Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. It's not about the presents. That's what Frank said.
Yeah, that's right.
He's right. So Merry Christmas, everybody. And remember, the days are getting longer. Spring is coming.
Yes.
Yes. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.